The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnuk, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way. Something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. Welcome back to the Did You Know Show and my continuing series discussing the executive branch of government and specifically the United States Consumer Product Safety Commission. The United States Consumer Product Safety Commission was established to consolidate the workings of government and legislation from several lesser-known legislative pieces into one entity. But, as you will hear later on, this is not always the case. This commission is an independent agency within the folds of the executive branch of government. But first, let's see how all this came about. How was it that this Commission on Product Safety came into existence? This Consumer Product Safety Commission, or CPSC, came into existence due to the passage of the Consumer Product Safety Act of 1972, which, in effect, rolled enforcement of other laws addressing other products into one executive branch entity. However, it should be noted, it was a study conducted by the National Commission on Product Safety and its final report in 1970 that pushed this legislation forward. The study concluded that the consumer, i.e. the American public, was being exposed to unreasonable products that were dangerous. This report further stated that the existing processes, such as product liability litigation, state and local regulations, industry self-regulation, and previous federal safety laws, were inadequate in protecting the consumer. A further recommendation within this report suggested the formation of a separate and independent product safety agency. Voila, the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Prior to the passage of the Consumer Product Safety Act, there were four other laws passed by Congress that directly took into consideration potential death from various specific products. And these were the Flammable Fabrics Act of 1953. This law specifically addressed the flammability of clothing, which used synthetic materials such as rayon. I don't think my current listeners are old enough to recall sweaters and children's cowboy chaps going up in flames and injuring persons wearing these items. This law was originally enforced by the Federal Trade Commission and in 1967 was amended to include interior furnishings and clothing which used paper, plastic, foam, and other materials which were flammable. Then there was the Refrigerator Safety Act of 1956. This law was specifically passed to address child deaths by suffocation in refrigerators that only had outside latches which could not be opened from the inside. It was this law that brought about our current refrigerator doors that remain closed due to magnetism rather than some other mechanical latching system. Next is the Federal Hazardous Substance Act of 1960. This law required warning labels for household substances that were deemed hazardous. These substances were categorized as toxic, corrosive, irritant, strong sensitizer, flammable or combustible, pressure generating, or radioactive. And lastly, the Poison Prevention Packaging Act of 1970. This act related to the accidental or unintentional poisoning by both medicines and common household products, and primarily with children. You know those caps that we have a hard time opening when we try to get our meds. These significant pieces of legislation were the forerunners of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, or CPSC. These legislative acts address specific items as to safety or danger. It should also be noted that due to this legislation in 1972, a subsequent piece of legislation, the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act of 2008, was passed, and one of its primary duties was the protection of whistleblowers under Section 219 of this Act. Now back to the real world of the CPSC. This independent agency reports directly to both Congress and the President. This commission, or CPSC, has five commissioners that are nominated by the President with the advice and consent of the Senate. Its primary offices are located in Bethesda, Maryland, with an adjacent facility in Rockville, Maryland, where testing actually takes place. The CPSC had regional offices in Chicago, New York, and San Francisco, with field offices in various cities, but these offices were closed approximately 8 years ago. There are approximately 100 investigators at the GS-9 through GS-13 rank who now work out of their homes. This info was provided by the CPSC in a telephone interview on 2/19/2015. There is also a regional product safety office in Beijing, China. This information was also verified by the commission's own yearly reports. It must be understood that this Consumer Protection Commission has jurisdiction over all products produced both in the United States and foreign countries, except those produced items that are regulated by other agencies. As an example, automobiles. They are regulated by the National Traffic and Safety Administration, which has jurisdiction in that area. Guns, tobacco, explosives, and alcohol products. They are under the purview of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. And the Food and Drug Administration regulates drugs. If a product doesn't fit one of these categories, then it is probably regulated by the CPSC. Now, the mission of the CPSC from its own website is, and I quote, to protect the public against unreasonable risks of injury associated with the use of consumer products, close quote. One of the unique features of this legislation is a requirement, and I quote again, for manufacturers, importers, distributors, and retailers of consumer products or other product or substances distributed in the commerce over which the commission has jurisdiction. What does the CPSC do? Well, it collects data, conducts inspections, identifies hazards, writes reports, provides public information assessments, collects penalties, and negotiates out-of-court settlements. The structure of the CPSC is such that there is a chairman and four commissioners, all in place for 5 years. Then below this hierarchy are six offices: the Office of Legislative Affairs, the Office of the Inspector General, the Office of the Executive Director, the Office of Equal Employment Opportunity and Minority Enterprises, and lastly, the Office of the Counsel General. There is also a Office of Communications, which communicates between the Congress and the agency. Coming directly off the Office of the Executive Director are two additional deputy directors, one for safety operations and one deputy executive director for operations support. Adjacent to the safety operations deputy director is a category called Small Business Ombudsman. And below the deputy executive director are the Office of Compliance and Field Operations, Office of Hazard Identification and Reduction, the Office of Import Surveillance, and the Office of International Programs. Then off the Directors of Operations Support, we have the Office of Facilities Services, Office of Management and Planning and Evaluation, Office of Human Resources, the Office of Information and Technology Services. Now, as to how many personnel are in each of these categories, that information was not available. As to funding, the CPSC annual appropriation from Congress for fiscal 2014 was $118 million. There was also a $500,000 from a prior year unobligated funds and an additional $2.8 million from offsetting collections by CPSC data collection work done on a reimbursable basis with partner government agencies. Of that total, salaries and benefits comprise $70 million, or roughly 60%. And getting to that figure, I tried to find rates and number of employees by government grade, but was not able to find that data. From Wikipedia, it was found that the CPSC has approximately 500 employees. Using simple math, that equated to a roughly $141,000 per employee. Not too shabby for a group sitting in offices and writing reports, or playing with all kinds of different toys, so to speak. In another report for fiscal 2015, it was found that in the year 2013, there were 528 employees, and in fiscal 2014, there were 548. And for fiscal 2016, they're projecting 567 positions, which were requested. government growing correctly. Now, this is my side note. Nothing in government ever seems to stop growing, whether it be the number of personnel or the deficit or the debt. Oh, I forgot. The number of military is decreasing in size at this time. Now, in doing this report, I have relied on the CPSC's own report for 2014. And this particular data was used to identify failing or safety issues that continue to plague this country when it comes to consumer safety. In its own report and in the message from the chairman, there were identified several areas where injuries and deaths still occur. These areas were youth sports, brain safety, window coverings, coin cell slash button batteries. I would particularly address window coverings and coin cell batteries. According to the report regarding window cords, one child per month continues to die from window cord strangulation. And as to coin cell batteries, since 2000, unintentional swallowings have killed more than a dozen children and injured thousands. Digging even deeper into the 2012 report by the CPSC, specifically reported toy-related deaths among children younger than 15 years of age for 2011, there were 13 child deaths relating to toys, and of that total, 3 relating to balloons, choking, and 2 for tricycles-related drownings, believe it or not. The other 8 were from other toys. This report continued providing the number of emergency treatment cases related to toy injuries, and that number was 170,000 for those under the age of 15. This report went on for 18 pages, providing various statistics relating to injuries. In the 2012 report, data was presented on activities of the CPC, and that report was 218 pages. Now, it seems to me that if you look at these numbers and correlate percentages as to populations, these numbers are not statistically significant. I'm not saying that the life of one child or one person is not important, but issues need to be placed in perspective. 13 deaths relating to toys pales in significance when one considers that there were 4.5 child fatalities per day attributed to child maltreatment in 2012. In a separate report issued by the OIG as CPSC, from information from IRS, it was found that federal civilian employees at CPSC owed an additional $2.9 million in back taxes. Couldn't find them to pay it, I guess. Also in that report, it was listed that 15 employees claimed more than 10 exemptions on their taxes, with zero federal tax being withheld. Within this report was also found that actions were not taken against these employees that were determined to have violated internal revenue rules relating to federal taxes. Must be nice to know somebody big in government. And finally, since the passage of the CPSC, there have been passed additional laws that have the effect of bolstering the CPSC and provide additional consumer enforcement activities. These are the Consumer Product Safety Act of 1972, the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act of 2008, the Children's Gasoline Burn Prevention Act of 2009. That's those gas cans that none of us can seem to open when we need to. These are all positive things. But the ultimate question needs to be asked, how far should government go to protect us? Well, listeners, I do hope you have enjoyed this discussion on the Consumer Product Safety Commission and its mission and have a better understanding of it. So long.
Well, until next time in our next Did You Know show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.